Hey, crew. Hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Well, that was an enlightening fantasy Sunday, at least for me. I share, as we record this, at 1 p.m. Eastern time on November the 10th. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, so this is independent of anything that happens in what's probably an important game for some of you, with the Eagles and the Packers going on Monday night. A number of players may impact fantasy fortunes from that particular game. Let's hope it's better than some of the primetime games have been recently. We're on a little bit of a run of dud primetime games. Maybe this one kickstarts us into them being more competitive and entertaining overall. Let me thank my sponsors, both originalhooters.com for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Those are the restaurants for those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area. Visit originalhooters.com for easy online ordering, hours of operation, and location information. I also want to thank Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit brandonlegalgroup.com. And as you start to think of holiday shopping for the sports fan in your life, where you need to either go onto a website or walk into a store and have something just hit you. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. Heads and Tails, boutique sports apparel and gift shop on West Kennedy in Tampa, or online, theheadsandtails.com, may have what you're looking for if you need something involving these six teams: Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Gators, Noles, USF Bulls. That's the only six that they carry. But they carry licensed apparel, unique items. I was just in the store, Mary Lou helping me out with prizes for the upcoming sold-out Todd Wright Tour 53 golf tournament at West Chase. Mary Lou is awesome. Heads and Tails is awesome. Check it out, theheadsandtails.com, or visit their store on West Kennedy Boulevard. My email for your fantasy stories, your fantasy questions, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Let me do a quick review of everything independent of the Monday night game. I know nothing's quick in my world. I'll do my best. And then some epiphanies, some things that really hit me as I was following along with football on the Week 10 Sunday. Jonathan Taylor, if you had him, we've talked about him. Why wouldn't we have talked about him? If you had him going into the 1 o'clock Sunday window, you had to know you were set. Now, in one of my leagues, we have a team that is struggling for wins, but the last team in the playoffs doesn't get in on wins. They get in on points. I think he's going to get in on Jonathan Taylor alone. In my scoring settings, Taylor's performance, with some overtime to inflate it, worth 46.6. I would imagine Jonathan Taylor alone outscored some bad fantasy teams in Week 10 that have had injury luck, bad luck on the field, or guys on bye. Jonathan Taylor versus the world. Jahmyr Gibbs wasn't far behind him. In my scoring settings, 35.2. And then Achane, who has been putting up top five RB numbers all year. In the Dolphins' battering of the Bills, as Sean McDermott takes another step towards not coaching in the Bills' new stadium. Achane with 34.5. Then Travion Henderson with the run late and apparently with the green light of the coaching staff. By the way, on waivers in one of my leagues, and at the last minute, I almost picked them up before 1 p.m. on Sunday, and I did not. If you scratched the $20 lottery ticket and actually played him in week 10, you got some money back on that lottery ticket. I would imagine some of you didn't because the Bucs are a pass funnel defense. Even though it was clear Henderson should see a workload in that game with Ramondre status. Then Davis Mills, who in Yahoo leagues was 97% available, probably not in anybody's starting lineup, was QB1 going into the Monday night game. As the Jags, for those of you that listen to the Todd Wright Toddcast, I did a mid-season playoff picture. And I just basically said, Panthers and Jaguars being in the postseason just doesn't fit. They don't look the part. Even with seven teams per conference, where often the seventh team that gets in isn't good, I think this year the seventh team that gets in is going to be good. Might be the Chiefs in the AFC. I think it's going to be a good team in the NFC. And I don't think the Jags or the Panthers are good. As Jay Croucher said on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour pregame show on Sunday on Peacock, even the Jags' defensive numbers are, and I'm changing the wording here, fraudulent, because it's based on some opponents that they played, and you have to look closer at that to evaluate it. That skews their ranking. And they couldn't protect that big lead. And man, you have Chad Little in a no-lose situation. Just let him kick it from anywhere. If he doesn't make it, we lose anyway. And Trevor Lawrence gives up the football, let alone can't move the Jaguars. I know there was an offensive line penalty, but that to me is a referendum on Trevor Lawrence as well. You're Liam Cohen. You send Trevor out there and say, whatever you do, leave 1 second and have the ball for me to send Chad Little out there from somewhere. Because it doesn't matter if he can't reach it. It's our only hope. And Lawrence gives the football up and can't move the Jags. Jackson Dart was next. Before he was concussed, then Caleb, available in 13% of Yahoo leagues, Dart available in 18% of Yahoo leagues, Stafford was just behind Mills, 12% available in leagues. This is where I said on a previous fantasy podcast, I regret using a high pick to take Baker, and it's not just because of the last month with Mayfield. I just didn't need to do it. When week 10, here are your top week 10 quarterbacks before the Monday night game. Davis Mills, Matt Stafford, Jackson Dart, Caleb Williams, Jared Goff. Then we get to Baker at 6. Now, I know it's just 1 week, but it proves you just didn't need to do it. And for those that did Josh Allen early, how about that fumble off the push-tush that almost turned into a 50-yard touchdown run of them? Whoops! Lamar Jackson, that wasn't worth it either. Even Mac Jones put up QB1 numbers in week 10 and continues to prove he can play in this league. All right, other position players. Kyren Williams, I actually, in one of my leagues that I'm going to talk about, I played Dowdle and Jacobs instead of Kyren. Remember I said when I drafted those guys at the beginning of the year, I drafted Jacobs and Kyren to just let them play every week. And for the first time, I played Dowdle instead of Kyren, and it backfired. Dowdle wasn't bad. Panthers were bad. Dowdle wasn't bad. Kyren was better. Then Dylan Gabriel. My gosh. Trey McBride. Suddenly. For football purists who rip fantasy people, even we see the same things that the Cardinals did. Jacoby, you stay in there. Kyler, you're sitting this out. Because he throws to Trey McBride in the red zone and in the end zone. It now seems odd when he throws to somebody else. Although I think they had a direct snap to the human Dortch as well. Breece Hall put up 18.5. Drake London made Sauce Gardner look eh. Albeit in a losing effort. Dan Campbell looks like he's had enough of the play calling of his new coordinator and got Jameson Williams involved. Tyler Algier. Available in 67% of Yahoo leagues. He was RB6. Yeah. And the worst thing for Bijan Robinson owners. Then Jacoby Brissett. Then Ibuka. How about Mariota had more points than Josh Allen? For those that used a high pack pick on Josh Allen, how do you feel that Mariota, in my scoring settings, put up the same points as Josh Allen and Tyler Shuck was 0.2 points below him? Again, turning it back, I'm going to have to remember this for next year unless something changes. The early pick on the quarterback, rather than something else, trying to draft the JSN, the Jonathan Taylor, the impact position player. That's what I should have done. That's what we should have done for those of you that used a pick in probably the first 4 or 5 rounds on a quarterback. Looks like you should have waited. Maybe not wait till everybody else has selected a quarterback. I know in one of my leagues, and he's now surging, one of them was Caleb. One of them was Justin Fields. I forget who the third one was. He waited until round 8 or 9 and chose 3 of them. And was just like, I'll figure it out. Quick note on Tez Johnson. Available in 68% of Yahoo leagues. I own him in all my leagues. Baker Mayfield struggles against man coverage, which is weird. He's smart enough to figure out zones. But when you put a guy, when everyone is accounted for, I got him. Is it that Baker thinks he sees zone coverage and it's actually man, or it's man coverage? Do the Bucs not have enough guys that are separating enough? Or is Baker just too aggressive in making throws against man coverage? Tez Johnson is so young and playing so hard and doesn't give up on any play. That's why Baker likes him. You got a garbage touchdown out of both of them late against the Pats because of it. And it got Tez Johnson wide receiver 1 status for week 10, which may or may not help me win a game. Nico got up to wide receiver 1 status as the Jags blew that game against the Texans. Okay, a few things here. First, I am waving the white flag in my leagues that my team isn't good enough. Now, I have seen, last year was a great example in the foundation, where the winner got hot late and no one could touch him. I mean, the games weren't even close in the playoffs. It was Josh from our friends at PDQ in Tampa Bay. And Josh was a very deserving winner with an incredible finish to the season. Could that happen to me? Sure. Is it? Probably not. I like a lot about my team in the foundation in particular. That's the 10-team league I'm in. The Battle of the Network Stars is the 12-team league. I don't have any wide receivers. I don't. That's why I'm playing Tez Johnson every week. That worked out. Rashid Shaheed did not. DJ Moore did not. When you get to that point where you know you're just not good enough, I don't have players with the high enough ceiling. I don't. That can put up the big, big, big week. Josh Jacobs has been great. Kyren Williams has been good. I have the running backs. Quarterbacks, yeah, I'm all right. But wide receivers, granted, again, I'll let you be the judge. And I still have work to do on Monday night, and my opponent has a team there. But this is a 500 team. This is my team with 4 weeks to go. Herbert and Dart are my quarterbacks. My running backs are Jacobs, Dowdle. Oh, I don't have Kyren in that league. That's right. And Manungai. My wide receivers are Harrison, better with Jacoby, Drake London, better recently, Nico, Tez Johnson, right? This sounds like a good team. I got Christian Watson. My tight end is Trey McBride. I know, you're stunned. My opponent this week cut him on his bye week a couple of weeks ago, and I was just like, I got to pick him up. Jacoby's playing quarterback. That's my team. And Pinheiro, who hasn't been kicking very well the last couple of weeks. Seems like a good team. I don't think it's good enough. All those guys that are putting up those monster numbers. Not every game, not every other game, but every third game, every fourth game. Jonathan Taylor, Jahmyr Gibbs. Granted, Drake London had 3 touchdowns last week sitting on my bench. I did win that game. I just don't think it's good enough. I do have Christian Watson sitting on my bench, kind of waiting for that breakout. Although, is that going to be like one big game and then he's going to pull his hamstring again or re-injure that knee? It's just one of those players who's always seemingly hurt. I also experienced this week in what is going to be a loss in the Battle of the Network Stars and my 4th loss in a row after a 5-1 start. My opponent in the Battle of the Network Stars was starting Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride, as I was starting Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride in the foundation. We've all been there, right? When a couple of key guys for you in one league are hurting you in another league. The only way you don't experience this is if you only play in one fantasy league. Only one. Most people, I think, play in two or more. I'm in 3 this year. That's enough. I have a friend in 4. Too many. I have another friend in 5. He says that's too many. I can't believe Matthew Berry said earlier this year on Peacock, he started the year in over 30 leagues. Granted, he can't lose. He makes so much money off being on the Mount Rushmore of fantasy football. Barry could lose every fantasy game he plays in a league. He's still winning. Much as I don't sweat, I still am trying to win and take pride when I do in my performance. But thanks to my sponsors, I win every year. It pays for me and the podcast. It has for 10 years. But I don't want to finish last. I haven't finished last in any of my leagues. It might happen this year. And I think in the foundation, I have good players. Do some of you struggle also with depth when it forces you to make a decision you don't want to make? You'd rather just be like, I have these, and they play. And the other guys, yeah, they're only going to be used if the number one guys are hurt or on bye. If your roster is really, really deep, sometimes it had me sit Kyren Williams for the first time all year and I played Dowdle. And I lost points because of it. I may not lose the game because of it. It wasn't like Dowdle had a bad game. Kyren's game was better. Okay, last couple of things here. Adam Rank. Many of you know him from NFL Network. I've watched him for years, primarily on fantasy shows. Yesterday, as the Jags were blowing that game in the early window to the Texans, I'm watching on NFL Network to see how it ends. Waiting for, is Chad Little going to go out there from like 74 yards? And could he make it? And Trevor Lawrence blew it. Didn't even get him a chance. So there was carryover from the almost live highlight show. I don't have Red Zone, so I watch NFL Network when the games get interesting and I don't necessarily have that game available to me. So the talent changed from the early window guys on NFL Network to the late afternoon window guys. And there was Adam Rank, first of all, in a suit, looking like $1 million. He dresses very casually for the fantasy show. And I don't often see him in a suit. He looked great. I like Adam Rank. I think Adam Rank would be a cool guy to hang out with. I know some take issue with that he's biased against other teams because he's a Bears fan. We're all fans of some team. And if you watch the NFL, you're biased towards good teams and good players. And you can dislike teams that get in the way of your favorite team. This is why, for the most part, I dislike the Packers. I don't dislike their team this year, but I dislike the Packers because for 50 years, they've been getting in the way of the Dallas Cowboys doing some great things. Back to the Ice Bowl, and I was at a game where Aaron Rodgers converted like a 3rd-and-20 to set up a game-winning walk-off field goal where the Cowboys would have hosted the NFC title game the next week. It was about 10 years ago now. And then there was the Dez caught it game, which even I will say, had Dez been given the touchdown or the Cowboys awarded the ball on the one where they would have cashed it in, Aaron Rodgers had plenty of time to get the Packers in position to take the lead and win that game. So the Cowboys probably would have lost it, but Dez did catch it, whether it was a touchdown or the ball on the one. Mike McCarthy threw that red flag. Okay, so Adam Rank loves this, that helps no one. And I've talked about this before. That concept is so flawed. Am I wrong? So Rank during, and he was very good, offering analysis, not just fantasy, in general, on the late afternoon games. Was very good yesterday on NFL Network in that late window. But when somebody scored for any of the teams playing in that late window, who clearly wasn't in any fantasy starting lineups, Rank pulled out the, well, that'll go into the that helps no one segment. Wrong. It's very simple. When a no-name scores for a particular team, it may not help your team. We'll give an example. 49ers, that was one example. Where a player who clearly wasn't in any starting lineups, whether it was Juszczyk or a tight end not named Kittle, scores. And Rank says, well, that goes in the that helps no one segment. Wrong. Granted, if you have McCaffrey, it doesn't help you. If you have Kittle, it doesn't help you. But if you're watching that game and you have no Niners and your opponent has McCaffrey, that no-name scoring helps you because McCaffrey didn't. That no-name scoring helps you because your opponent has Kittle and he didn't. In most cases, when the no-name player, not in a fantasy starting lineup, scores, it does help you. It might not be your guy, but you don't have guys on every team. It's not only kind of a 50-50 thing against your opponent, but in terms of total points, which usually is some form of a factor in leagues. I know it is in mine. The last wild card in the playoffs in all my leagues gets in on total points. We have had, the only time a woman won one of our leagues, back when we did a podcast league, she was in dead last in wins and losses, got in on points in either a 6 or an 18 playoff, won every playoff game, won the league. Winner. Yeah. So when a no-name scores in fantasy, it might not help you, but it might not help you raise your point total, but it keeps down your opponent's point total and other teams in the league. So to say that helps no one is factually inaccurate. That's my point. And I hope Adam Rank does more of that on those almost live game highlights on NFL Network on Sundays. He was very good. Last thing, and they brought this up. Well, we'll talk about this the next podcast. Someone tweeted the guys on the fantasy football pregame on Peacock Sunday morning and said his like 5 or 6 names and he needed 1 or 2 in a flex. And he gave a parameter of his league that I'd never heard of. He didn't say PPR. He didn't say half point PPR. He said half point per first down. Half point per first down. That got me thinking. We'll talk about it on the next podcast. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening. Remember, my email is right.todd@yahoo.com.